Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from BlackRock Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol BRC and on the OTCQX under the symbol BKRRF. We are chatting with the President and CEO, Andrew Pollard. Now, BlackRock Silver is focused on the Tonopah West Silver Gold Project. This project is located in the Walker Lane Trend of Western Nevada. Big news that came out earlier this week on Monday was the maiden resource at this project. The maiden resource came in at 42.6 million ounces silver equivalent, grading 446 grams per ton silver equivalent. Now, Andrew, let's face it. The market, I think, was more expecting around 100 million ounces. I received a number of emails saying this resource missed the mark because of the fact that people were expecting more around that 100 million ounces. One thing to consider is that the company acquired this project 2 years ago. There's 18 months of drilling that has gone into this resource, and this resource has come in fairly high grade. This is one of the higher grade silver resources, especially maiden resources, and especially in Nevada. Andrew, I'll give you the floor here. Initially, take us through your take on this maiden resource from this Tonopah West project, please.
Yeah, thanks very much, Corey. And it's, you know, we can say it's not a project anymore. We've got an actual bona fide deposit on our hand, which is we've now taken it to and established that with these resources. In terms of where we're trading, listen, I think expectations have been all over the map. I mean, we're dealing with very high grade veins, but some of which can get very narrow. In terms of how we were trading going into it and expectations, I mean, the best way to look at expectations is how we were valued, you know, right before we put this out. And on Friday, we closed, you know, based off of the 42.6 million ounces, that would have equated us to about $3.35 or so per ounce in the ground. You know, as of right now, closing on Tuesday afternoon, we closed at a value of about $2.50 an ounce in the ground. High grade ounces like this command a premium. You know, most analysts would effectively have expectations on something of this grade be commanding around $3 US an ounce in the ground at this stage. That means, yeah, we did miss the mark in terms of expectations, but not by a factor of 50, just by about a factor of, you know, about 20% or so. Now, that being said, obviously, you know, we can only work with the data we have at any point in time. And earlier on, yeah, I did give an interview where I was talking about upside targets, potential. But that was obviously based on extrapolation of the results continuing along the same trend that they had. You know, it's unequivocal that if you look at the infill program that we did from, say, the results we had in September of last year to where we finished off the last 50 or so results, I mean, they were unequivocally skinnier. So obviously expectations change with the data. Our institutions, you know, are on side and they get this. I think it was just retail that might have had some very, very high expectations based off old exploration targeting. You know, once again, I mean, these ounces that we've delivered, we've now got the second highest grade undeveloped silver project of size, i.e. north of 40 million ounces in the world. We're second to only Silvercrest and Las Chispas. They're down in Mexico and they're going to be going into production next month. That means we're going to be number one. Now, I'd contend that, you know, Silvercrest commands their industry leading valuation because not because they've got the largest resource. There's plenty of companies out there that have a substantially larger resource than Silvercrest. They command their industry leading premium per ounce in the ground of silver because of the grade. Grade is king. You know, we're in the queen of the silver camps, and what we've got here is one of the highest grade deposits out there that's left to be exploited. And as you said, we've only been at this for about a year. Now, the other thing in terms of expectations that I don't think the market was expecting, at least retail sort of understanding, but our technical groups certainly get it, is we've used substantially higher cutoffs and cost assumptions than anyone would expect. And we did that simply because we wanted this first foot forward to be absolutely bulletproof from alluding to a potential viability standpoint here. You know, we've taken this resource, we've used a 200 gram per ton cutoff, and at that, we've got roughly 3 million tons. Any mining company looking at this will probably look at that cutoff and they'll look at our cost assumptions that go into our underground, like our long hole stoping and our cut and fill, and they'll say, okay, well, those assumptions seem high. We can probably do it better. What they would see is opportunity in these numbers. But these numbers, especially in this inflationary environment we're in, these numbers hold true. These are bulletproof. And we went a step further than most companies would. And we had our consultants, who are known to be rigorous, take it beyond just a block model. They stope optimized the entire thing. And what that is it's not just a block model we put out using, you know, underlying economic assumptions. No, we had their engineering team take it one step further, because we want to show that every single ounce, every single ton that we deliver actually is within mineable shapes, meaning that, you know, real equipment can fit down there and you can actually reasonably go in there and expect that, you know, these ounces would be recoverable. So, you know, that constrains the resource. Obviously, if there's any blocks that fit outside of those shapes, they don't get in there. And we've used very stringent standards. We used a meter and a half vein thickness. So anything that isn't a meter and a half thick doesn't get in. And I think that's where we lost quite a bit of tons that based off of, you know, our initial targeting at DPB. You know, our Victor target, for example, you know, surpassed actually our expectations, because the veins of Victor skew just a slightly thicker than they do at DPB, and they also skew slightly higher grade than they do at DPB. So at Victor, everything can form very, very well and fit nicely within all of these optimized stopes. At DPB, there was a lot of areas where some tons that were just on the cusp using those economic parameters and based off the mining shapes just didn't get in. And you don't get brownie points for almost getting there. They're either in or they're out. It's binary. What we see, though, is huge potential at DPB simply due to, there's plenty of potential to drill out some of those high-grade shoots more. And, you know, the thing with this resource is a lot of the ounces are in a little bit of the ton. So if we can vector in on the high-grade tons, you know, that's where things start to really pile up. And we've got a good handle on those now, and more drilling should better define and ratchet that up at DPB. In addition, you know, a lot of those cost assumptions that went into this, I think we can look at scoping down a little bit. And that's what I think most potential companies looking at us kicking the tires will see too. They'll see big opportunity to reduce the cost, the cutoff grade, and as the cutoff grade tons go up. So one thing that wasn't in the release but will be in the report is a sensitivity analysis. And that's where this project really gets exciting, because a lot of the tonnage that we actually projected at DPB, you know, would have effectively been there at 150 grams per ton cutoff, but falls off at 200 grams per ton cutoff. And all of a sudden, once you add those tons, you get up right closer to the expectations at which we were trading on Friday when we closed. So I think the sensitivity analysis should appeal to people. But certainly if I'm a corporate, you know, this is one of the most robust, good-looking deposits on the planet now. And it's not in Mexico and it's not in Peru. We're on private land in Nevada, and we've got some big, big upside potential here just based off better, you know, definition drilling. And of course, I mean, we've kept connecting on step outs. I mean, this resource area is just a moment in time here.
Well, Andrew, I think that's a great way to put it, that the resource is just a moment in time. And maybe just to restate a couple of the key points you just made for retail investors, because we are reaching retail investors today in this interview, is that you could have used different cost assumptions and done more arm waving. You could have used a more narrow vein width, narrower than 1.5 meters, like many companies do, and you would have had more resources in there. At least you're going to have the sensitivity report to kind of show people on different metals price assumptions. So in a way, this was a very conservative and, like you said, stope optimized. So it's not just ounces for the sake of it in the ground. These are ounces that could actually be mined. So like to your point, any larger company looking at this project as a potential, you know, bolt-on operation and a takeover where they'd like to develop it down the road are going to look at the assumptions you used and say, hey, you know, we could do that for lower cost. Hey, we could even mine down to a 1 meter vein. Hey, we could use different metals price assumptions. So in a way, this was maybe packaged together more for the big boys that may be looking at it. And I think the retail maybe just misunderstood that. You could have done the arm waving other companies do, and you didn't. So is the plan to eventually build this resource up even further over time? You know, because keep in mind, you've only been drilling 18 months. So after a couple of years of drilling, is it to put it together into a package and have a larger company come in as a strategic stakeholder? Is that kind of the vision of the company?
Yeah, well, listen, you know, we've never stopped drilling, and we've already outlined a lot of upside just beyond the resource boundary. I mean, we've connected on a series of holes, connecting on all of the veins in DPB, going about 50% beyond where the resource finished off. And then just, you know, a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we announced that our geologic interpretation on our Denver vein system is actually intact, in the sense that we figured that the veins start trending north-northwest around the rim of this caldera. And we've hit the Denver vein about a kilometer beyond where this resource envelope finishes off. So not only do we have a drill, you know, continuing with step outs and trying to tie together this mineralization, but, you know, we're showing that it could very well move all the way up and cross over onto our Tonopah North property, where we're also doing some exploration drilling right now. You know, we see significant opportunity to add high-grade tons within this resource. So we do have a drill at site right now, going back and trying to vector in on some of the high grade shoots, and just try and go into some areas where maybe, you know, some tons were just right on the cusp of making it in, and just trying to better define those. So, you know, that's where lots of those tons can come back online. But certainly, yeah, as you said, we sought out a QP that was going to put out something very believable and rigorous, and they lived up to that. And what we're showing is that the project fought back. The project holds up even under this increased scrutiny. If we lowered the cutoff grade that other companies are using, our tons would go up, and we could, you know, we'd have higher ounces. But people would still then, you know, attack us on the viability, or they say, oh, those aren't economic. Well, listen, we've sucked out all that oxygen in the room now. This is one of the best looking high grade deposits on the planet, and it's only just beginning. So, you know, I think our you know, right now, I think we closed around 250 an ounce in the ground based off of our grade, and grade is king. It's I think that's a little light from where we should be. And I think the pendulum just swung a little far, you know, but to put this in context, we're right back to where we were at the very end of February. We closed at 88 cents on February 29th or February 28th. We're at 88 cents now, except now we're backstopped by some of the highest grade ounces in the ground. And once again, this is just the beginning. So, yeah, you know, we're excited to get the technical report out, because I think any data-driven technical group will appreciate what went into this and see just how, well, just how we sucked out some oxygen from the room in terms of, you know, any people doubting whether this is the real deal or not.
So one thing to note that was included in that news release too is that the all-in discovery costs came in at US 62 cents per silver equivalent ounce. So those are good exploration all-in discovery costs. One would wonder, was that the low-hanging fruit in terms of the ounces? But you've outlined a number of different avenues and near-term growth avenues here. You keep talking about how these ounces are economic, though. Are you guys going to be putting some sort of a PEA or any other economic study around this resource, or is it just simply too early because you still see so much exploration growth?
Well, it's, you know, grade is king. And with these high grade tons that we've just put out, I mean, I think it's enough to sort of make, you know, scoping stuff out look interesting. We see a lot more potential to upgrade this resource with a little bit more drilling. I mean, doing this initial pass of drilling, you know, we did a lot of meters to, you know, hit all of these veins. Going back and targeting individual, you know, some of the, trying to vector in on some of the high grade shoots, and just going into the key areas in the model where our consultants have identified might benefit from, you know, a little bit more definition drilling. You know, we don't expect that's going to require a lot of drilling. That might be like 10,000 meters or so, which is nothing compared to what we've done. And same with connecting the dots on the low-hanging step-out hole. So, you know, I think we've got very low-hanging fruit to move this thing forward and ratchet up the high-grade tons and expand the footprint of mineralization here before we look to, you know, push it forward to PEA. But we'd expect that, you know, this is going to be one of the more robust projects out there. And as I said, it stands up to scrutiny with these initial baseline numbers. You know, it might be a little less than what some people had modeled, but once again, we used higher cutoffs and that affects that. But more than that, you know, these numbers are very believable though. And I think that the credibility there will be, and the upside potential will be realized if someone comes knocking, which, given what's going on in the rest of the silver space right now, I think this puts a huge target on our back.
Well, Andrew, you mentioned a little bit about the new project you've acquired in Tonopah North. And I believe that in our last interview, you had mentioned you were looking at maybe doing a 9,000 meter kind of a scout drilling program there. But maybe bring folks up to date on that, too. That's a whole other avenue for growth that the company has at Tonopah North.
Yeah, no, that's so we've got this geologic interpretation that the mineralization in Tonopah West follows along the margin of a caldera, so the blow off top of a volcano. And we staked about 20 square kilometers directly north and directly north-northwest of our project. So these BLM claims directly abut our patented claims, which is our resource area, Tonopah West. And we've tracked our vein system, our DPB vein system, effectively all the way right up to that property boundary. We've got a step-out hole, which we just finished, which is right on the margin of that boundary between Tonopah West and Tonopah North. And that'll be interesting to see if we can hit the mineralized system up there. But beyond that, we had three separate targets, scout exploration targets, which we identified on these new patented BLM claims. And we're about halfway through drilling those. I think we've got about six or seven completed holes from that 12-hole program. And this is new discovery-oriented drilling too. So, you know, in a perfect world, we'd be able to track all that mineralization that we've just outlined at DPB, another kilometer and a half to the property boundary up to the north, and see it keep moving up to up onto these unpatented claims. And then hopefully we'll see how this scout drilling goes too. But, you know, right now, I mean, the lowest hanging fruit is just building on these pieces that we've now gotten in place at Victor and DPB. We see big, you know, we still haven't found the bottom of the deposit yet either in terms of mineralization for either zone. So, yeah, it's been less than a year and a half of drilling that went into this. We've got one of the most defensible high grade resources out there in the industry right now. And I see a very easy, quick potential to upgrade this in the not too distant future and ratchet things up. And hopefully see our ounce in the ground premium follow suit too.
All right, Andrew, wrap us up quickly then, just with news flow expectations. You've outlined a lot of different exploration that's ongoing, that is coming up all over the property, it sounds like. So what will the flow of news be approximately coming out of the company?
Yeah, so we've got six or seven completed holes up at Tonopah North, and that's that new discovery drilling. The first panel of holes we did this year were step out holes on DPB, and those are the step outs that go all the way up to the property boundary. We announced that we hit that Denver vein in our last news release prior to the resource, and we've got a whole bunch of other holes pending that go all the way up to the property boundary beyond that. I'm trying to hit the Denver vein system at its preferred elevation, so hopefully we hit that sweet spot where the high-grade stuff would be found. So, yeah, lots to look forward to in terms of upside potential, assays pending from both projects, and drills are turning at site as we speak. So, yeah, we'll have to look forward to in the short term here. And hopefully our valuation on the ounce in the ground reflects more what analysts have anticipated for ounces like this to be valued at as we've delivered them. So, yeah.
Okay. Hey, Andrew, thank you for this update. Hey, if any of you listening have any follow-up questions or want any more information on any aspect of this resource or the work coming up, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We'll follow up with Andrew, get those questions answered, and also follow up on the back of any additional news. Andrew, thank you for taking these questions. Thanks for walking us through this initial resource. And please keep us up to date on future news, because I'm sure there'll be a few questions. And it sounds like a lot more news coming very shortly.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.